Now, I'm sure we're all more than well aware of the recent images and some of the audio that's been played as well of young kids, really young kids, separated from the parents after crossing the southern United States border. Harrowing for many, many people. It's made many people angry as well. It's a reminder of the plight of migrant children in Calais not so long ago too. Well, children fleeing conflict and war in their own countries like Africa or the Middle East, real unstable parts of the world, often end up as asylum seekers here in the UK, and well, they need looking after. The Adolescent and Children's Trust is the UK's largest fostering and adoption charity. It's looking for new families to foster such young people. And one woman who's currently caring for two unaccompanied asylum seekers is Debbie from Liverpool. She joins me on the line now. Debbie, good morning to you.
Hi, morning, Tony.
How long have you been a foster carer? What made you do it?
Well, I've been a foster carer now for about 9 years. And yeah. I started off, I used to work in Walton Prison. And through the work there doing restorative justice, I noticed quite a high number had come from the care background, you know, going through care. And I thought, you know, I wanted to help stop them getting to that point maybe where they're going down the wrong road, really. Yeah. And a friend of mine at the time was fostering for TACT. And she, all of a sudden, you know, I was talking to her about it. And then 6 months later, I became a carer, really.
So TACT is the Adolescent and Children's Trust organisation.
Yeah, they're the biggest, I think, in the whole of Britain for fostering and adoption.
So was this, some people say it's a calling, it's a vocation. I mean, it can't be easy, but was there just something inside of you that said, I've got to do something about this?
There was, actually. For years, I'd wanted to foster. And I'd spoken about it a few times, but I sort of left it, you know, life got in the way, job got in the way.
Yeah.
And then it was through, again, that prison work and seeing the lads in Walton and seeing how they'd ended up and things like that. Not, you know, through circumstances growing up as children, really. And mm-hmm. So I think it was that I thought, you know, I really need to do something now.
And tell us a little bit about the two young people that you look after. We won't mention names, just where they're from for the obvious reasons.
Yeah, I have two. The little girl came to me 2 years ago from Eritrea, which is, I hadn't heard of it before. It's East Africa, which is on the Horn of the Red Sea, right next to Ethiopia. It's a very, quite small country, and I had not heard of it at all. And, you know, I got the call to say that they had a little girl had come through on a lorry, 13 years of age at the time.
On her own?
On her own. And she, I couldn't believe her story, really. It was quite a traumatic journey for all of them when they're travelling from. And if you know anything about Eritrea, it's quite a dictatorship. You know, they have to join the military as soon as they're 16 and things like that. And so she'd left her village, walked on foot through Ethiopia, Sudan, Syria, Libya. And that itself was such a treacherous journey. You know, things happen on the way that they're quite traumatised.
Well, you're so vulnerable. You're vulnerable at any age, but 13-year-old girl, you know.
Yeah, and coming from a tiny village, you know, making that journey, as I say, on foot. Yeah, it took her 2 years to get over here. That's the length of time it takes these children to do it. But they're that desperate to get away from the life that they live in.
Yeah.
And you know, on the way, there's traffickers, there's bandits, there's all sorts happen on the way, you know. And she eventually got on a boat, and she couldn't swim, the boat capsized and was picked up by Italian Coast Guards, who then took her to Italy, where she then left there again, got on another boat after that happening to her. And she was severely dehydrated as well, being on that boat across the Mediterranean, and eventually made it to the Calais camp, where she spent 4 months in the Calais camp, determined and trying to get over here, you know, each day trying to jump on a lorry. And eventually she did get on the lorry, and the lorry driver, as it happens, it was coming to Liverpool, and he opened the back of the lorry, and there she was, huddled in the corner, and he just pointed her in the direction of the Home Office.
That's what happened there. And what's it like for her to adjust to having somebody to, you know, somebody that she will trust, you know, a loving place to stay, food, warm, shelter. Was there a little bit of hesitancy there just to start with? You know, because you've been through a lot. You must have been petrified. To do what you did, you must have been petrified
absolutely.
To leave
home. I'll never forget a face when the social worker turned up on the door holding a hand, and she looked absolutely terrified. You know, she was so scared. So you sort of try and get into the frame of reference, really, of how they might be feeling and what have you, and trying to make her feel comfortable, showing the room and being mindful that this isn't a culture, you know, that this is not her culture at all. She couldn't speak any English at all, so trying to communicate was so hard, really.
How is she now? How is she now?
She's speaking perfect English.
Scouse,
to school. Scouse, doing GCSEs. You know.
And she's doing her GCSEs. She's going to school.
GCSEs. She started off going to a special school, learning the language. You know, one for refugees and things like this.
Yeah.
And I felt she wasn't benefiting from that, really. And this was my daughter now, so for me, I'm fighting, thinking, no, she needs to be in mainstream school where she can be immersed in our culture, immersed with the children. What better way to learn the language and the culture than being in school? So I fought to get her into school, and she's just thriving now. As I say, her language is great.
What has it meant to you, Debbie, and your family? Because I know your brother as well. I know your Alan.
Alan, big Weller fan.
Only because we're both big Jam fans. That's the only thing. But what's it meant to you? And when you go into a room at night and just check she's okay and she's got her head down and she's asleep, what goes through your mind?
That she settled. I remember when she first come, she was having nightmares. You know, she kept waking up the slightest little noise, because she, don't forget, she'd come from living in a camp for 4 months, and the dangers of living in that camp with you know what was going on there as well, and with these girls. And so, you know, the least little noise. I remember opening the door to just put my hand in to turn the light off, and she screamed.
And
she was terrified. So, but this is a different little girl now. This is a girl who's determined to get an education. I've never known anybody. You know, she gets up, goes to school, stays behind after school, then goes to the library after school, then comes home and just stays in the room and does that. She's so determined to get an education now.
Well, she's certainly getting that in a loving home as well. Debbie, we're almost out of time. If anybody is interested in doing what you do, because it's easy to just go, yep, asylum seekers, lump them all in as one size fits all. It's totally different. Every story is different. How do people get in touch? How do they find out more?
Well, I would get them to get in touch with TACT, because they are brilliant. You're well supported. You know, I've been with TACT now for 9 years, and you're treated like an equal. You're given lots of training, lots of support. We have support groups every month. So get in touch with TACT. You know, they are brilliant. All the money gets ploughed back into the children. You know, it's a charity. Everything goes back into serving the children. So do that, and don't hesitate if you're thinking about doing it. You know, just make that phone call. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Debbie, we're going to leave it there. We're out of time. Lovely to talk to you as well. And thanks very much indeed for sharing your story with us. I'm sure it's touched many people this morning. Thanks, Deb.
Oh, thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye
now. Bye-bye. TACT. We'll find that number for you. We'll find that website for you as well. And we'll pass it all over to the A-team before the show's out this morning, just in case that might be something that you want to delve into and find out some more details. 17.